As a machine gunner with the 86th Blackhawk Division in Europe, Ray Valagura of Bryan bravely fought in World War II. And then after its end, he saw the horror of World War II up close. While his memories of the war include the camaraderie of the 86th, they just as sharply focus on the remains of the concentration camps and the POW camps that his unit helped liberate. He'll tell you that as a youth, he didn't much think about it, but today the recollections flood back. Assigned to General Patton's 3rd Army in his march through Europe, the 86th Blackhawks, the first unit that returned home after the war, completely intact. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. Ray Valagura is a retired Texas A&M worker of nearly 30 years. He and his wife, Jean, live in Bryan. As with so many World War II veterans, their recollections start with that infamous day.
December the 7th, 1941, my family had attended my uncle's funeral. And there at the cemetery, the word came out that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, and of course it would kind of stunned everyone. Some of the guys were already in training because they anticipated war maybe in Europe. I had five brothers older than I am, and they were all married and out on their own. So Dad and I were sort of left alone, and there it was almost certainly that I would have to wind up in the service. I was inducted into service January 1943. I went to Fort Sam Houston, and a group of us were shipped out to Camp House, Texas, north of Dallas near Gainesville. And there the 86th Black Hawk Division was activated. And I had the privilege of serving 42 months in the same unit.
They got training in machine gun, heavy weapons. They went to Louisiana, then to California for amphibious landing training, thinking they were headed to the Pacific. But as the Army will do, that all changed.
We were shipped instead across the United States to Camp Miles Standish in Boston, Massachusetts. And from there we loaded ships, and the D-Day invasion had already taken place. We landed in Le Havre, France. And we started our fighting across France. We crossed the Rhine River at Cologne and fought into Germany.
His unit was the first to cross the Danube River following General Patton's 3rd Army. They covered a whole lot of ground.
Around 100 miles in a little over 20 days. And most of that was on foot. Riflemen were mostly on foot. We in a heavy weapons company, we had vehicles to carrier, machine gun, mortars, and trailers for ammunition. But we moved fast. But we later found out what it wound up was aid to the Belgian Bulge.
And together with the 9th Army, this operation quite likely contributed to the shortening of the war in Europe.
The 9th Army from the east spearheaded around the other part of the valley, and we surrounded that. We later learned that probably through this operation that the war may have been shortened from 8 months to a year.
There's a lot more to Ray Valagura's story, as you might imagine, and we will continue it tomorrow. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.
The story of World War II
veteran Ray Valagura of Bryan fighting the war as an Army soldier attached to Patton's march through Europe. Their mission was to attack the Germans' ability to wage war, patrolling the Ruhr Valley where the enemy munitions plants were stored. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. It was not long after that before Ray Valagura's 86th Blackhawk unit got the word of Hitler's surrender.
And we moved on, and we were in Austria at the foot of the Alp Mountains when we got word that Germany had unconditionally surrendered.
But the work was not done, not by a long shot. There were Allied prisoners of war to be rescued.
We liberated some camps there where they had some of our prisoners that they had even taken from the Salerno beachhead that they had established in Italy. And some of those boys were prisoners there. We talked to some of them, and they told us that they anticipated maybe the war was coming to an end because they heard the bombardment, the planes coming over, and they had hopes. And I had one boy tell me, he said, "You know what I had for breakfast this morning?" He said, "I had a piece of bread and a warm glass of milk, just to kind of keep my insides open so I could eat later on.
And then the horror of war that he'll never erase from his memory. Listen to Sergeant Ray Balagura.
And then we liberated some concentration camps, which was a very tragic and disturbing experience. These people were near starvation. They were weakened. They were ill. And as we were liberating them, they were marching. They were marching in single files back to an area where they could be taken care of properly. And we issued them some rations that we had available. They tried to hug and kiss us, showed the gratitude, but we were warned not to make contact with them because of disease, parasites, and they had experience and so forth.
So their job in Europe done, the 86 Black Hawk was shipped back home. The war was still raging in the Pacific, though. A ground war was anticipated there. They had had amphibious landing training before going to Europe. It was during this respite of a new kind of training that amid the thoughts of war came the thoughts of love.
I happened to go to a country dance hall, and I saw this young, beautiful lady in pink dress dancing with another girl. Of course, I guess they didn't have many boys to dance with because most of them were off in service and so forth. But anyway, I kept on my mind. I finally found out her name, Jean Ripple. She lived in the neighborhood at that time. She was working in Austin, but she was home to visit. And I thought about her, and then we shipped to the Pacific. We were 3 days out of San Francisco when we heard that they dropped the atomic bomb. Well, what's the atomic bomb? But anyway, we found out what terrible destruction it had. 1 or 2 days later, they dropped the second bomb, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then they began to anticipate that Japan would surrender. So they stopped us in Manila Harbor in the Philippines. And there we disembarked. And we did some mopping up operations there in the Philippines on Leyte and Mindanao. And we did pick up some prisoners. We hadn't been notified that the war was over.
Ray Balagura did serve in both campaigns, and he did meet up again with Jean Ripple, and he'll tell us that tomorrow. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley,
the story of Brian Ray Balagura, World War II veteran of the European and Pacific theaters, Bronze Star Medal winner.
We told you last that Balagura's 86 Black Hawk unit came home together from Germany after Hitler's surrender, but it was not long before they were shipped west to fight the war in Japan. The bomb had been dropped, but the war not over yet. Ray Balagura recalls one time when the enemy was right behind them in Japan.
And we didn't have much to do, so we sit down under a tree. One of them had a deck of cards with him. We played pinochle. And while we were entertained with that, we heard a noise behind us. We wheeled around, and there was 4 Japanese soldiers. They didn't have weapons. They had their hands over their head, and they were surrendering to us. That could have been a drastic ending for us.
The war over, they had to wait some 4 months before getting a ride home, so they passed their time with the American pastime, baseball. Ray Balagura played left field.
They had a big baseball stadium there in Manila, and we had some big league baseball players in different service units around the area where they organized teams, and we watched them play. They had a big stadium there, seated about 40,000 people.
Yeah, Ray Balagura remembers some of those names of some of those players that went on to play in the bigs.
For example, Kirby Higbee was in our outfit. He was a pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Pitchers like Gerald Staley, Yul Blackwell, Dominic DiMaggio, Joe DiMaggio's brother, he was in the Navy. There was quite a large group of those big league players in service, and they organized, and they had sort of like a World Series between themselves. And we got to see all of that.
He came home, was discharged at Fort Sam Houston, worked at Pepsi-Cola and Western Auto in Caldwell, and then Ray Balagura came to A&M, where he would spend more than 2 decades.
And then through a friend, I learned that there was been some openings here at Texas A&M University. And I applied for air conditioning and refrigeration job, and I worked here 21 years.
Ray Balagura, like we said, won the Bronze Star Medal, but like so many who won medals in World War II, did not see himself as a hero.
I feel like I wasn't doing anymore but taking orders and doing my job and what other guys were doing, but I appreciated the recognition on this part.
His memory of 60 years ago fades some now, but not the horrors of those concentration camps he helped liberate or the other images of suffering.
Yes, you see pictures now of the skeletons and all these people that of the torture they went through. Well, you can believe every bit of that, because I've seen most of that, and I saw a lot of that. And it was a very tragic and disturbing thing to see. Beside war, nothing but tragic, because when you think back, not only the enemy, but your comrades, young men in their prime, being wounded, screaming in pain and help, calling for their parents to come get them, what little consciousness they had. Those kind of things are very disturbing. Kind of accepted that at the time, but as you think over it now, you think of the boys and what they have to go through. And also, I have two grandsons, and I'm so thankful that so far they hadn't faced those kind of situations.
Remember earlier we told you about Ray meeting Gene Ripple at that dance hall between tours of Europe and Japan? Well, that story has a really happy ending.
After I got home and got discharged, went to work, well, I went to some dances in the area and happened to be Dimebox Dance Hall dance, and there she was. I asked her to dance, we got acquainted, and we got to dating for some time, and we got engaged. We were married August 3rd, 1947.
And Ray and Gene celebrated their 59th wedding anniversary recently. Congratulations to them, and thank you for your service, Sergeant Ray Valagura of Bryan. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates.